No, but guys, today is going to get better because we're doing the word on series. Just a quick recap. The word, we began with the word on God, and then we evolved towards the word on evolution. We finally made it to the word on humanity, and we fought our way through to the word on spiritual warfare. And now today we are sharing on the word on media. So before we start, we just want to pray together and just ask God to be in the midst of what we're doing. So yeah, here we go. Lord God, we thank you for all that you are to us and all that you've given us, Lord God, allowing us to be here, allowing us to hear your word. And we just request that. We request something more to come onto us that we never had when we came in. Just we're asking for a difference, Lord God, in what we know and in what we feel. And we admit sometimes that we neglect that. We neglect what you give us in knowledge. We neglect what you give us in wisdom. And we say, ah, it doesn't matter. But Lord God, we're giving this service to you. And we're saying, use us, Lord God. Use us. Use whoever speaking. Use whatever material we're going to be using. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So we're just going to start off with a quick little socialization because it's about media. So I want you guys to like share what you think the word media refers to, primarily because I didn't actually look this up. So I don't really know what I'm talking about. So I need your help on that one. So yeah, you guys have got like a few minutes on that. So yeah, go for it. Okay. Awesome. I hope I'm not cutting you guys short. Oh, I am. Oh well. So, I hope you, I heard of some interesting things. I as soon as I posted the question, I just heard somebody say, "Ah, WhatsApp," and then they just kept quiet. Yeah, no, but it's not wrong. Actually, I'm sure you guys all have some valuable points. I'm just gonna add my two cents here. Media is popular culture that we watch, hear, or interact with for entertainment and/or education. So maybe a little bit of both if you're maybe watching Crash Course or something like that. So what am I talking about essentially? I'm talking about things we watch, so like television, right? Movies in the cinema, YouTube videos, right? What are we, things that we hear? You guys can hear that, right? Music, precisely. That is also media. And interact with it. So social media, right? Facebook, Twitter, you know, Snapchat, Instagram, Mixit, if anyone still uses that. But yeah, all those things, all that whole mess, that whole concoction, that is media. And so we're going to delve deep into that today. But before we get knee deep in this, what? Yeah, okay, newspaper. Thank you, Jen. Really appreciate it. Us young people, we don't read that. I don't know why. But yes, newspaper is media. Thank you so much. So before we get into this, let me just say that this is not His People Presents the Roast of Media, okay? I'm not here to make you guys feel bad for having duplicate accounts on Facebook or taking embarrassing photos and then posting them on Snapchat because they get deleted in every 10 seconds, all right? This is not me. This is not me trying to make media look bad, look horrible. But this is just me essentially saying that, like with everything, there is a dark side and a light side to the force that is media. For those of you who are Star Wars illiterate, what I'm basically saying is that media is like fire, all right? Fire has got many good uses. It's good for light. It's good for warmth. It's got many good industrial uses. But the most amazing thing about fire is that it's perfect for roasting meat, okay? That's the perfect thing. But if misused, all right, if it's misused, it's also good for roasting humans. And like, yeah, when I say that, it seems a bit funny, it seems a bit weird. But the gravity of that is that it doesn't really happen on a physical level. It happens on the spiritual level. And that's exactly what media is capable of. And you don't really realize it. But that's why I'm here. And that's why you're here. And that's why we're talking about this. So because I made the link between the negative media influences and meat, we're going to start with that. And yeah, so to start off with, just take a look at this. Yeah, let that sink in. Let that sink in. Now you see that girl in the middle right there? That's God. And you see that handsome, devilish looking guy on the left? That's me. In another world, far, far away, that you'll never see ever in your life. And so media can make us cheat on God. Really, Micah? Really? Are you serious? Well, let's first define what cheating on God actually is. Exodus 2, verse 3 says, "You shall not have other gods before me." Never. You won't. You know, if you read scriptures along the same line of this context of like idolatry, right? Many of them will refer to the Israelites who, you know, made golden calves or made statues or whatever, and they actually created these gods and started worshiping them. We look at those scriptures and we're like, idiots. I don't do that. I don't worship a golden calf. What? I don't. And then we think that this doesn't apply to us because we obviously don't worship other gods, right? I want to make this point though. If you spend as much time on your phone, on a computer, or on anything really, or even more time than you do with God, who's to say it's not actually a bigger part of your life than God is? Why should it even be on the same plane of existence? Why should it even be the same? And so that, I mean, you have to understand, it makes no real difference to God whether it's golden calves or your cell phone, whether it's stone pebbled statues or it's your computer. It all has the same effect. It's all taking your focus away from God and putting it on something that is like just completely different from Him in every way possible. And it's heavy, it's real, and it's also covert. Kind of like this. Media can make us flirt with sin. Now the expert playboy will come to me and say, but you see, that is wrong because you need to flirt first before you cheat. Therefore, this whole sermon is bogus and I'm leaving. Guys, the whole point of what I'm saying, like, one, it's an analogy, and two, it's cheating on God is really all about taking your focus. You're looking towards Him and then suddenly you see something, ooh, shiny. And you look away. And then flirting with sin is entertaining these little things that are actually not of God, not of God's word, not about God, not from God. And it's making these things okay, making them acceptable. You know, like the odd awkward vine that you watch, or the picture that you stare at for way too long. Or like in the video you shouldn't be watching, all these different things. And it won't always be obvious. It'll be subtle. It's sort of how the devil works. He's not broad and obvious. I mean, if he wanted to come and chill amongst us, he wouldn't have these big wings and have horns on his head and have a little tail over there. It's not how he works. He introduces things subtly. Small hints. Small little flirts. And he puts small little thoughts in our mind. And then these things start to go on loop. Play for a while. And it become those things, right? Those sins that you're flirting with, they become acceptable to you. They become okay. It's all right to think about someone that way, or it's all right to do something like this, or it's all right to say something like that. It's okay. It's okay for me to do that. If you were on Facebook recently, you know, me and Mark, you know, we were at this place called Rock. Yes, Mama's. Thank you, Jen. Mama's great burger joint. Unfortunately, we didn't get to burgers, but we did have this huge little, I don't want to call it a pan, but I don't know what to call it, but it's like a huge steel net of chips that was in my hands. How perfect is that? And it was just, and then we just read the scripture, and we're just like, Mark was just like, you know what, Micah? I have done so many horrible things with my right hand, actually. So many things. More things than you, because, you know, I've lived longer. And yeah, what do we do about this? And so we then decided that if you look towards Mark, we decided to cut off his right hand. And now he doesn't have a right hand. And yeah. So I assume most of you done some horrible things with right hand too. Luckily, we have a knife at the back there and a chopping board. So I'm just kidding. Obviously, we're not going to chop off your hands. All right? It's obviously not what's happening. It's obviously not what's happening in the scripture. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus was 100% serious when he said this. I wouldn't be. But I don't think that was the point. I think he's using this imagery just so that he could say that anything, even if it's as essential as your right hand, anything that causes you to sin, chop it from your life. Get rid of it. Because if you don't, if you entertain those things, if you make those little things acceptable, all right, then this happens. You see, these facial expressions are what I live for. This is like, I mean, you know what's actually, the irony of this is actually quite hilarious, is that the fact we look at this and we go, ugh. Those fingernails, though. We look at it and we're disgusted. We're freaked out. I mean, if I walked up to someone here and said, "You sleep with Satan." Look at that. Look at that. Did you see that? Did you see that? And we're just so offended by it. But here's the reality. You know that if you're living in a godly character, and if you're drawn from God, that is essentially the reality you're living in. That's pretty much it. That's what media actually is capable of. It's all an accumulation. First we turn away from God, then we start to entertain these different things, and all of a sudden, this is happening. Romans chapter 13, verse 13 says, "Behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy." What Paul is basically saying here is that don't do the things that the world is doing. Don't. It's not of God. It's ungodly. It's an ungodly character. And you know what? The toughest thing about being a Christian, the toughest thing about being a godly character, is that we live in a world where ungodly character is not only acceptable, it's promoted. And what is the common medium of this promotion? Media. The movies you're watching. That's a big thing. Music we're listening to. Right? Social media as well. I don't need to like tell you guys every single bad thing that happens. And like the reason why I personally wouldn't want to be called a pastor per se is because I'm just like you. I also struggle with this stuff. I also used to be a teen who used to look at online pornography online, or used to look at things on Facebook you're not supposed to be looking at. That was part of my life too. And that's like the reality of what media actually is capable of. It pulls you away from God. It does. It can. And it does to most people, really. Because we don't see it. It's not that we want to sin, right? It's not that we want to sleep with Satan, or we want to flirt with sin, or we want to cheat on. It's not that we want those things. It's our indifference. It's our ignorance. It's our negligence. It's not actually switching on and seeing the bigger picture. Seeing what media is capable of. Its greatest strength is in you underestimating it. That's just what Satan loves about using these things, that we don't even know that he's hurting us before it's too late. And that's real. All right? That's deep. So we're going to have a real moment right now in your groups where you discuss how media has drawn you away from God and his ways. Not if, not whether, how. All right? And you're going to have a few minutes for that. So go. Okay, wow. Phew. You guys are quite into this. I can see media has been horrible to you. It's done you wrong, hey? Yeah. So how many of you feel like cutting yourselves like Pastor Monk did after like this half of this life? Anyone? No. Juanita, put your hand down. What is your those hands are too cute to be cutting them off. Come on. No. All right? Guys, you don't have to cut your hands off. All right? You don't have to do anything to make. No, Pastor Monk. Yeah. I was a joke. We were eating chips. Oh, healed. Okay, cool. No, guys, there are positive media influences too. All right? There are good things about media. Good things that can help us to, well, for example, fall for God. Fall in love with God, you know? Notice I say help and not make, because you ultimately make that decision. But here's the framework for that. Let's look at scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." If Paul was still alive today, he'd probably say, "Whether you post or tweet or whatever you do it for the glory of God." It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, fine, we're talking about media, so I'm probably going to tell you whatever you do on media, do it for the glory of God. But it doesn't really matter what it is. All of it should be being done for His love and for His glory. And it can be difficult, right? We live in a society where that kind of devotion and love towards an invisible God is actually almost looked down upon, is mocked, let's say. I know when I go to school and I start talking about the things I do in my life differently from my friends, like I don't like to go to parties, right? I feel like I can't. I feel like I don't want to be in that space, in that environment, because of all the debauchery and all that stuff. And then these guys are like, "Mike, why didn't you go to your after party, bro? It was gonna be sick." And I don't do that because of my faith, because of what I believe in, because of who I love. And it's looked down upon. And people do it. Some people don't mean to be offensive to what you believe. Some people claim to believe the same thing that you believe, and then they look down on you for practicing those things. So it is difficult. This is not me telling you that these things are easy, but this is me telling you that media can help you do them. Do you know how much content there is on the net that is for Jesus? How many of you know the Bible Project? Guys, go on YouTube, find the Bible Project. Those guys are awesome. They do videos on all the books in the Bible. Currently, I think they're on Job or something like that. No. They're even further than that. They're way past that. You know, they do videos explaining, you know, the Bible. They also do videos explaining the different overall themes that cover the whole space of the Bible. They do awesome stuff. Explore God. These guys, you know, haven't really posted any new content on YouTube, but the stuff that they have is great. And they have a YouTube channel, they have a Facebook page, they have a Twitter page. My brother has a website. Oh, he's not here. I'm just saying. He has a website and he posts stuff about God there as well. That's awesome. There's so much. I mean, recently we even had like videos up here. Like, I think the last video I watched was on how there are constants in the universe. And because of these constants, the universe is fine-tuned, and thus you need a creator to fine-tune these fine-tunes. And it's God. And it's so awesome. And, you know, Mark is awesome. God bless his soul. He might as well be the son of Krypton. But he didn't make those videos. He didn't. We didn't. That's media, guys. That's also media. There is stuff out there that shows you how awesome God is, how wonderful He is. And then, because of His wonder, you fall in love with Him. You fall for God. Media can help us flee from sin. Flee, right? I like that word, flee. It's like, here it comes again. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Sorry. That's 2 Timothy verse 2, chapter 2, verse 22. What does that even mean? What does it mean to have a pure heart, really? What is that? Is that even possible? It is. It's a pure heart. pure heart for Jesus, a pure heart for God. You know, there are other people around you, other people encouraging you to do what's right, to run away from these things. Here's another awesome scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." What is Paul saying? Paul for me is saying this. Let's assume Debbie's God, right? And now he's basically saying whatever is of that kind, of that variety, I should run and pursue that. I should be thinking about that. Now, notice he doesn't say run. He doesn't say act. He doesn't say. He doesn't do. He says think. Think. Like, can you make anything move with your mind? No. So why is he saying think? Think because it all starts up here. You see this big part of my body right here? That's where it all happens. That's where it all starts. It's where it all goes wrong, right? With media. But it's also where it all goes right. The things we focus on, the things we're thinking about, the things we're meditating on, those things produce something in us, produce character, and produce actions as well. And so when I'm thinking on such things, I'm really focusing on God, not on Debbie. Bless your soul, not you, but God, really. That's who I'm focusing on. And when we do that, when we're looking and we're moving towards God, we're fleeing from sin. And it's not just like we're running and we're looking back and we're trying to like make sure like the devil doesn't catch us. Ah, Satan, get away from me. It's not like that. It's not like that, okay? Because what Paul is basically saying is that so long as you think on such things, so long as you're pursuing such things, eventually the devil won't be able to catch up with you. He won't be able to catch up with you. The best he can do is just wait outside the presence and wait for you to just come out yourself and then snatch you. That's all he can do. When you're that invested in God and you're looking for God that much, you know, I used to swim, emphasis on used to. And one of the things they taught us is that when you're swimming, you never look anywhere else but where you're going. Because if you look back or you look down, whatever, you lose focus and you're not pursuing that thing you want. So when you're fleeing from sin, don't go looking back at all the things you've done, all the things that are horrible in your life. Look towards God. Think on such beautiful things. And then it'll finally help us to partner with Jesus. It escapes my memory now, but in either Romans or Corinthians, in one of those books, Paul makes mention of how the church is basically the bride of Christ and how we're in this, you know, relationship with him. Sort of like that, right? And so why are we in that relationship with Jesus? Well, because he loves us, yes, but also so that we can do this. We can use media to change the world into a better place. People are currently already using media to change the world. Not sure if for good or for worse. Fees must fall. I don't know if you guys know about the RU reference list, where the names of alleged rapists were released. That was in Grahamstown at Rose University. People are already using media for that kind of stuff. But God wants to use it to make the world a better place. God wants to change the world for his glory and for his image. And you know the people who are doing this, who are doing this Fees Must Fall thing and doing this reference list thing, they're actually not that much older than us, really. They're not. More or less the same age. They're also doing powerful things. And so it's a call from God to use this tool he's given us. And because the thing about God is that God isn't like a partial God. He like sees that and he says, ooh, well, you know, like your pizza. Like he just picks the things, picks some toppings from you, and then he just puts it in his pizza and says, okay, I'll just take those things and I'll leave out things I don't like. No. And we also act like that. We say, okay, God, this is my life. So I come to church on Sundays, so you can have my Sundays, right? You can have my Sundays. I also have money, so you can have my finances. I'll give you some of my offering. I also eat food, so yeah, you can like I'll pray for my food and stuff. And maybe when we do school ministry, God, okay, cool, yeah, that's great. I can like give up a few days of my week to do school ministry. And then the things we find fun, the things we find the most entertaining, like media. We say, no, that's my me time. No, that's me. That is somehow has nothing to do with God. Nothing. We make that exclusive from him. God should be your me time. That's literally what I'm going to say. That's the best me time you can have because he knows you better than you know yourself. And so God wants everything in our lives, everything. He wants to use every single bit of us, including our media. It doesn't matter whether it's my brother's website or whether it's Ash's YouTube channel. By the way, he has that, you know, or this Pastor Mark sermons or these pictures of birds, which are also pretty awesome. Or whether it's Abba's offering message. It doesn't matter what it is. He wants to use all of it. So we're going to watch a quick video. You guys saw this already. The boy who didn't stop, look, and listen.
The boy who didn't stop, look, and listen. Before his leg was bent backwards, he loved to play football all day. But the boy didn't cross in a safe place where he could see cars come his way. He then didn't stop, look, and listen. A car hit him at quite a pace. And now he cannot play football, because his leg broke in more than one place.
It's quite sad, isn't it? Poor boy. You know, whatever sadness or empathy you might be feeling or not feeling for this boy, that's really God's, you know, emotions for us when we don't actually take the time to really look at what we're doing with media. It is exactly how he feels when these things happen to us and we don't know that they're happening. Because most of the time, if media is doing anything, it's hurting us without us realizing that it's hurting us. It's pulling us away from God without us realizing that it's pulling us away from God. Because we underestimate it. Because we say, it's just Instagram. It's just a movie. And so, what can we do? We can firstly stop. Right, stop and evaluate the media exposure in your life. There's a lot of it, I'm assuming, for most of you. And most of you, maybe you're online, maybe you use social media. If not, maybe you've been watching movies and stuff. And it's just about just saying, whoa, all this is coming, all this information, all this stuff, just saying, whoa, wait, what am I looking at right now? What am I actually looking at right now? What does it mean? What is the nature of this thing? Evaluate it. I for the longest time I have a Facebook account. I don't use it that often. But for the longest time I actually didn't feel encouraged to send friend requests to some of my friends because I feared they might post some things that might dirty up my newsfeed. A bit judgmental, maybe, I admit. But at the same time, it also was from a place of saying, look, I wanna maybe just stop for a second. I wanna maybe just evaluate the input people have on my life. And maybe just take some time to find things that are good. So once you stop, maybe just then take a look. Look at the consequences. What are the good ones? What are the bad ones? What do I gain from liking this page? All right? What do I gain from listening to this kind of music? You have to, and be honest with yourself, all right? Don't lie. One, you can't lie to yourself, and two, you can't lie to God. So don't try and make an excuse, all right? Because just like we said, if there's anything at all that is causing you to sin or is causing you to be drawn away from God, you need to cut that out of your life. But if it's good, then keep it. Encourage it and share it with other people. But the most important thing is don't just glance over it. Don't just now not evaluate, not look at the consequences of this thing. Because that's like the worst thing you can do. At least this way, you have some sort of control, some sort of power. How many of you realize how much power media actually has had over you because you're in the neglect of taking control? Thirdly, listen. Listen to what you're hearing and ask, is the message true or false? Do I really have broads in Atlanta? Yeah. Anyone who's heard music like that knows what I'm talking about. It's the things you're listening to, the things that are actually not good, not good. And I make that reference specifically for the reason of saying that we allow that to be acceptable. We allow that to be okay. And we don't actually listen to what we're actually hearing and say, is this true? Is this right? Does God approve of this? I made a little point to the guys in M1. I said, whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you're listening to, whatever it is, however you choose to engage with the media, while you're doing that, ask yourself, if Jesus was right next to me, would he give that a thumbs up? Would he appreciate that? If you know the answer to that question, then you need to go back and you need to find Jesus again. And you need to like go into scripture again. And if you don't know the answer to that question, you still need to go back. It doesn't matter which way you slice it. It's still the same cake. You need to now go to God and ask him, God, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong with this? Is this true to you? Is this what you want? I mean, whenever you're posting something or whenever you're doing something, ask yourself, how would Jesus do it? Because Jesus, guys, is the model. Okay? He's the model for us. And don't take this the wrong way. This isn't me saying now completely change your entire routine, entire media routine, and like stop watching Dragon Ball Z or whatever. I hate Micah because he's told me to stop watching Dragon Ball Z. Ah! That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm encouraging. What I'm encouraging is discernment, is like looking at stuff and actually analyzing it. What I'm encouraging is to not be like that. It's to not now be like the little boy who didn't stop, look, and listen. Because neglecting that is dangerous. The truth is that for most people who are indifferent, it goes bad with this kind of stuff. And it turns south. And it doesn't have to be you. God doesn't want it to be you because God has so much more. He wants us to be happy and to be prosperous and to be enjoying the good fruits of media. He does. He thinks media is awesome. He thinks it's cool that you could talk to your friends on WhatsApp. He thinks it's awesome that us as a generation have the easiest amount of access to the largest amount of information in the history of mankind. He thinks that's great. But he wants us to be wise with how we use it, to know what we're doing. So don't be like that. Rather, stop, look, and listen. And he'll honor you for it. He'll honor you for your discernment. He'll honor you for your judgment. And he'll also honor you for sharing it with others, sharing, putting good stuff on the net, putting good stuff in media. So take that and practice it throughout the week. It's not going to be easy the first time, probably. It's not going to be like roll off your tongue instantly. But as you practice, it gets much easier. So let's end off in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for gifting us with this form of expression that we call media. And we know, Lord, that sometimes we are very quick and very easy to forget who we are in you and how we're supposed to behave. And sometimes it can become hard because we don't really know. We think that there's nothing in scripture that tells us how to actually behave in media, but we know that there is. And we know that you give us guidance in all areas of our life. And so we thank you for that. And so we ask for it, not just for today or just for tomorrow, but for the rest of our lives. And not just for media, but for every other area in our life. And we bring it into the center of it all, oh God. In your mighty name, amen. Well, that was fun. What else is fun, though, is next week we're going to be doing the word on prophecy with Debbie, who's chilling over there. So you guys really want to come for that. Otherwise, guys, I hope this was good, and I hope you have an awesome week. God bless.